Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast with me, Layla Mutin, nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. I will be weighing in every week, once a week, predominantly on Fridays, on issues of interest, issues that are critical in nutrition and health and wellness, and to take any of your questions should you have any. And if you do, please email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I want to give a shout out to a few emails that I got, you know, liking the inaugural podcast. Thank you very, very much for your well wishes and your comments. I really appreciate that. I am raring to go and make this a weekly information-packed podcast for you. So very, very happy to be here. Last week, I was talking about the webinar that I learned so much from, the mental wellness webinar, and I talked about the physiological basis for anxiety and depression, and I spoke a lot about the gut-brain relationship, the gut-brain axis, the importance of the microbiome, and I want to pick up on this because there is still more information that I want to bring to you. Coming back to the microbiome, we have to be concerned about gut toxicity because gut toxicity will equal brain toxicity because the gut and brain are related, and the gut being the second brain. But actually, primarily, the gut was the first brain. Now, the prevalence of anxiety and depression is huge, and we have to ask the question, why? Coming back to toxicity, our environment, did you know that the symptoms and side effects of toxicity are anxiety, depression, and behavioral problems? Now, this is in addition to things like allergies and ADD and autoimmune disorder and, you know, chronic infections, unexplained fatigue or chronic fatigue, but the symptoms of toxicity are also anxiety, depression, and behavioral problems. Now, a toxic gut will equal a toxic brain, but where is all this toxicity coming from? Pesticide use is one thing, all right? Agricultural pesticide use, especially. But also heavy metal toxicity. And this is something we test for a lot here at the Hoffman Center when people are coming in with neurological issues, behavioral issues, mood problems or issues. And of course, you think of things like mercury toxicity, you think of lead toxicity. All of these can cause neurological problems as well as depression, anxiety. The top two being mercury and lead. Now let's talk about mercury a little bit. The prime sources of mercury toxicity are basically our dental amalgams, number one. Number two, the seafood we eat. If you go to a very, very helpful website called gotmercury.org, they will show you a list of seafood, all of which are low, high, or medium in mercury. So what you want to do is stay away from the fish that are highest in mercury. I'll name some. Tuna, the fancy white albacore tuna, unfortunately, is highest. Swordfish, shark, tilefish, king mackerel. These are probably the highest in mercury. Of seafood, the lowest in mercury are wild Alaskan salmon, not farm-raised salmon, because that's more toxic than a whole lot of other things, apparently, PCBs and so forth, including any pesticide residues. Farmed salmon is actually gray in color, and they're fed fake astaxanthin in order to turn the flesh pink. Don't like to think about that too much. Anyway, so our dental amalgams, mercury from seafood, sources of lead. We could get lead anywhere, from our municipal water systems, from the food that we eat, from automobile exhaust. Although with unleaded gas, lead has actually gone down quite a bit since, I would say, the 1950s. We get it from from batteries, from pottery glazes, stained glass, hair colorings, also lead. Another toxic metal is aluminum. And aluminum is in our aluminum cookware and utensils. Aluminum is contained in baking powder, foil, antiperspirants, cosmetics. We want to beware of these toxins because they add to the burden. Now, I spoke last week about the SSRIs, the antidepressants, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These, according to Ross Pelton, the natural pharmacist, excellent little webinar that I got to see. Ross Pelton says that a prescription for an antidepressant should be last resort. And one of the reasons is because of all the side effects, and I touched on some of those side effects last week, being anxiety, irritability, and insomnia. Who needs any of those? It's almost like you're trading one problem for another. Another reason a prescription should be of last resort is many of them cause drug-induced nutrient depletions, especially of nutrients like magnesium. When we don't have magnesium, we're depressed and we're anxious. It's a double whammy. We're depleted in our B vitamins. These are all drug-induced. We're depleted in selenium, very important for neurotransmitters as well as immunity. And, of course, we need good quality omega-3 fats. We're not getting the omega-3 fats because our standard American diet, the SAD diet, is completely depleted of omega-3s. We're eating a very grain-based diet. We're getting a lot of omega-6s, omega-6 fats, which are very, very pro-inflammatory. A lot of our foods are cooked in vegetable oils like corn oil, canola. Some of the worst oils are cottonseed, sunflower, safflower. These are not great oils. They are omega-6 bombs. So what we want to do is reduce our exposure to all of that. Getting back to the drug-induced depletions of our nutrients. So the prescription, which is supposed to fix the problem of depression, the antidepressant, that is depleting us of our nutrients, all of which are critical to serotonin. But there's a double whammy here. There are detoxification hinders, things that actually hinder our detoxification. You've heard of avoiding grapefruit juice or grapefruit if you're taking certain medications like a statin or, you know, maybe blood pressure medications or something like that, because grapefruit hinders the detoxification of those drugs. But did you know that there are certain drugs that are also detoxification hinderers? And guess what? They are antidepressants and Valium. So not only are the prescription drugs known to treat depression and anxiety, they're not only depleting our nutrition, they're also inhibiting our detoxification. It really, really is a double whammy. Something to be considered when your doctor gives you that script for, Cymbalta, Effexor, or Wellbutrin, or any of those, or Paxil. You may not want to go in that direction. And again, you don't want to be on that for a lifetime. It has its own side effects and its own problems. Another area of toxins are genetically modified organisms. because of genetically modified organisms, and let me name some. At this point, most of our soy and corn crop is GMO. So is our canola oil. But did you know so is zucchini, as well as some other produce? But these are the top three or four right there. And because these GMOs are resistant to Roundup, farmers are now able to spray even more Roundup to kill the weeds because it's not going to kill those GMO crops. We're finding out that the use of Roundup has doubled or even tripled. So we're now getting a lot of the toxin in Roundup. It's called glyphosate. This is playing a real number in our gut and in our microbiome. And I talked more about our microbiome last week and how important it is to our health, our well-being, and our mood. So all of this Roundup, you know, from our produce, from our lawns. Do you have a perfectly manicured lawn? You may not want to go that route anymore. Use more natural methods rather than using something like Roundup. Important, critical nutrients for mood. I already mentioned magnesium. I mentioned the B vitamins, zinc. I talked about omega-3 fish oils. But also we need amino acids, and we get that from our protein sources. We need amino acids for proper detoxification as well. The role of vitamin D in depression is very, very important. Vitamin D has been shown to increase serotonin 2 to 20-fold. It's really, really amazing. So getting enough vitamin D, and again, we're heading into fall now. We're in September. So if you're north of Atlanta, we're not really going to get the UVB rays anymore up here in the northern latitudes until about April. So best to take a supplement, a vitamin D3 supplement. Food sources of vitamin D would be milk, but you'd have to drink a whole lot of milk to get the required vitamin D. And if you have a dairy allergy, forget that. And milk has a lot of sugar. It's called lactose. That's not great for your mood either. And if you're lactose intolerant, that takes care of that. Vitamin D is also in salmon, some in sardines. You'd have to eat quite a bit of fish to get your vitamin D. Or if you're going to eat shiitake mushrooms, that's a source of vitamin D, especially if they've been ripened in the sun. Other sources, other reasons for anxiety, depression, other contributors to anxiety and depression. Let's get back to drugs for a minute. We know that steroids, the glucocorticoids such as prednisone. Had you ever taken prednisone? It's a powerful, powerful anti-inflammatory, but it's also known to cause emotional lability. I have seen people on crying jags when taking prednisone. Prednisone as well as oral birth control pills. The oral contraceptives are also drug muggers. They are known to deplete our nutrition, primarily B vitamins as well as magnesium. And there are the two critical, the vitamin and mineral, right there again. So when these are depleted, we're not going to feel well. And by the way, speaking of drugs, are you on a statin? Because if you're on a statin like Lipitor, Zocor, any of those, guess what? We need our cholesterol because cholesterol is the substrate where all of our other hormones are made, especially things like thyroid hormone. And those people with low cholesterol, very low cholesterol, there is a link to depression. As a matter of fact, a total cholesterol of 160 or less has been linked to depression as well as aggression. And there are even bigger dangers to very, very low cholesterol. And this was found in the Framingham Heart Study. Those with, quote, desirable cholesterol levels of less than 200, less than 160, and you know, when you're taking a statin, your total cholesterol is somewhere in the neighborhood, the ballpark of about 128, isn't it? Your cardiologist loves that, but guess what? Those with a cholesterol that low are more prone to depression, moodiness, aggressive behavior, violence, and get this, there's more, decreased learning ability and intelligence. There is also increased mortality from suicide and infections because did you know that cholesterol is classified as an antioxidant? Cholesterol is necessary. It's the repair substance that comes out and spackles those cracked arteries. It's actually a repair substance. So if you're on a statin and your mood has changed, you might be able to point your finger at the statin and say, what's going on here? Because I need cholesterol for mood. We also need cholesterol because our brain is at least 40% cholesterol. So it's absolutely necessary. We are also a nation of statin users. And my original question, why such a prevalence, why such a high incidence of mood disorders like depression and anxiety? Could it be that we're a pharmaceutical nation? Everybody is either on a statin or then quite possibly on an antidepressant. So here are the roles. In addition, food allergies have to be discussed here. Food allergies are critical. If you have an allergy to a particular food, some of the most common complaints, you know, normally when you think of an allergic reaction, you think of itching, rash. You might even think headache or stomach ache or something like that. But did you know it can also impact your mood? Anxiety and depression are common with food allergies, but especially not the immediate food allergies, you know, not like the kid with the peanut allergy who breaks out in hives every time he has a peanut, but more the stealth food allergies, the delayed, the type 4 food allergies, the IgG food allergies. These are kind of stealth. When we test people for these delayed food allergies, we often see that on paper there is a reaction. There is an immune reaction, but they don't necessarily feel anything overtly. But if there is a mood or behavior issue, it's critical to look at these food reactions because they do play a role. Are there ever any foods you feel like you can't live without that you crave over and over? Let me name the top two suspects, wheat and dairy. These are two top food allergens in terms of impact in mood and behavior. Wheat and dairy contain exorphins. You've heard of endorphins, the feel-good neurotransmitter, that runner's high endorphin. We feel really good and joyful. Well, exorphins come from food like wheat and dairy. Gluten has at least two or three distinct exorphins, and dairy has at least eight or more exorphins, or casomorphins is what they're called. There is also the concept of allergic addiction. The reason you frequently go back to the same food over and over, the reason that craving exists is there might be an allergic addiction component to it. The food that causes us the most trouble, apparently, is the food that we crave most often. So take a look at your food cravings, and if wheat and dairy tend to be the top, you know, are you craving bread? Do you absolutely love pizza and don't want to be without it? It could be that kind of a thing. Do you love milk? Do you love dairy products? Are you addicted to cheese? I've heard people come in and tell me, I cannot give up cheese. It's because of these exorphins or casomorphins and this concept of allergic addiction. If you read the great Dr. Doris Rapp, the renowned environmental allergist Doris Rapp, you could find her website at dorisrapp.com. That's RAPP.com. She talks a lot about allergic addiction. So take a look at the foods you eat most frequently and do a trial of eliminating them. Now, there's a catch. When you eliminate these foods, you may find that your mood worsens before it gets better. It's called withdrawal. You're withdrawing from these particular foods that you've been mildly addicted to. But after about a week, maybe 10 days for some people, you should start to feel a whole lot better. And after maybe 3 or 4 weeks of not having these foods in your diet at all, you could do a trial of eating that food again and see how it makes you feel. And if it makes you feel worse, if you notice a change in your mood, or even a change in your pulse rate, that indicates some kind of maybe allergy or intolerance to that food or any other kind of sensitivity to that food. It's not all immune related. So these are some of the other reasons, or these are some of the other critical factors in determining the physiological basis for many of our mood issues, anxiety and depression, and maybe why they are so prevalent. So this is all food for thought. And this is me weighing in once again on a Friday on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I will talk to you next week. Take care and be well.